Hi all, thanks for coming. This talk is going to be about Wikipedia. My name is Ilanka Dunnan, and I have a lot of different hobbies. My day job is that I'm a game developer, and I also have a hobby of cryptography and codes. I maintain some popular websites about famous unsolved codes, which is actually how I first heard about Wikipedia, because I enjoyed tracking my website and seeing who was coming to my website. So I was going in and I was looking at the links and saying, okay, well, who's linking to Ilanka.com? And I started seeing the site called Wikipedia a few years ago. And I went to the site and it kept crashing on me or you know, being delayed every time I went to Wikipedia. But then eventually the site started getting more robust and I found myself getting extremely interested in how things were working. As part of my day job as a game developer, I manage large online communities with tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of people. And I was very intrigued with the way that the Wikipedia community was forming and how these articles were forming and how they were dealing with disputes. And so I started getting involved with the Wikipedia culture, started creating articles, and eventually I did what's called running for office. I tried to become an administrator, where the community goes through this massive voting process and they can support and oppose you, and it's an extremely political process. It was the most political thing I've ever done on the internet. I kept being rejected as an admin because they said, well, she's done too much stuff. We don't trust her. They wanted people who hadn't done anything to be administrators. It's a very anti-authority community. Eventually, I did get in, navigated the politics, so I am a Wikipedia administrator. And then I was chosen by the... In the dispute resolution process, there's different layers of how disputes are handled, and the governing body is too strong a term, but the highest step in the dispute resolution process is something called the Arbitration Committee. And the Arbitration Committee realized that there were some disputes on Wikipedia that were intractable disputes, things such as articles about Israel and Palestine, certain religious articles dealing with Islam, where there were just constant disputes about how these articles were being handled, and editors were coming in from Israel and Palestine and changing the article about Jerusalem to say this, changing it to say that. And so Arbitration Committee, ARBCOM, created a working group on ethnic and cultural edit wars. And they chose a few people to be in this working group to analyze the problem. I was one of the people that they chose to be in this group. So one of the things I'm going to be doing as part of this talk is talking about the Wikipedia dispute resolution process and also our findings in this process of ethnic and cultural edit wars. So that's kind of where I'm going to be focusing. But I'll also have some general information about Wikipedia. How many people here have read a Wikipedia article? It's extremely well known in culture right now. How many people here have ever tried to edit a Wikipedia article, actually make a change? Okay, has anyone here ever been involved in a dispute over a Wikipedia article where you change something and then someone comes along? Yeah. How many people have a Wikipedia article about them here? Hey, okay. did I see a hand go up in the back there? Okay, all right, good. And so Wikipedia has extensive policies on how information about living people is supposed to be handled. We try to protect people, but if someone's extremely controversial, then a lot of people will all pour in and everybody wants to put in their two cents. And as Randall will tell you, anyone who has a grudge, one of the first targets, if someone has a Wikipedia article about them, is that they'll run to that article and try and put bad stuff in the article. And I have an article about myself as well. And as an administrator, I constantly have this happen where when I'm trying to, say, resolve a dispute that's over in the cold fusion article or something, and someone doesn't like what I'm doing as an administrator, they will retaliate by coming to the Ilanka Dunnan biography and trying to change it, to say something negative about me as a way of you know, getting revenge. So there's some really nasty tactics that are going on there. We'll also be giving advice here for anyone that does want to edit an article that maybe runs into a dispute, how to deal with those disputes. Say if you make a change and then 2 minutes later someone else comes in and changes your stuff back saying, wrong, I don't like that, and then you try and change it back and they revert back. And so there's these extensive procedures for how to deal with these disputes and how to escalate them. So I probably don't need to go too much into this, but just very basically, this is the main page of Wikipedia. There's a featured article that rotates out every day, and there's a lot of competition among Wikipedia editors to create an article and expand an article to the point where it can become what's called a featured article. You can get an article to what's called a good article status. So it's like a role-playing game where you're boosting, instead of boosting your character, you're boosting your article. And so you're getting your article up to what's called good status, and then you can get it up to what's called featured status. And featured status is extremely difficult to do. It's usually a several-month process. And then if it gets to featured status, possibly it will get on the main page of Wikipedia. And I've done this with a couple of articles, and it's one was on a British soap opera character named Pauline Fowler from the EastEnders, and the other was the article about the Knights Templar. I managed to get that featured status and managed to get it on the main page of Wikipedia on October 13th, 2007, which was the 700-year anniversary of the arrest from October 13, 1307. So I was very proud of that. Okay, so Wikipedia articles, that's what the public sees. However, you can also click on the discussion tab of each one, and that's where people will discuss what's going on in the article, or where, if there's a dispute, this is normally where the dispute will happen, will be on the discussion page. And for any article, you can click on history, and you can see everything that everyone's done to it. And here's where you can see who did the change, when they did the change, and it's very easy to revert an article to an earlier version. And you can see the differences. So you can see exactly which change in color was done by each person at each time, and tweak words. So people that come in and vandalize Wikipedia are sometimes unaware of this. They think they'll go in, and Wikipedia has over 3 million articles, and they think they'll just add a little four-letter word into some article somewhere, and no one will ever notice. But no, it doesn't work like that. There's actually people who, it's called recent changes patrollers, who can see a list of every single change that's made second by second, minute by minute on Wikipedia, and they will look at literally every single change that's made. It's almost like a big game of whack-a-mole. And they go through and they're looking to see if anyone has vandalized an article so they can immediately revert it as it happens. And it really is like a game of whack-a-mole, because they'll look, and the profanity and the vandalism is coming in so constantly, minute by minute, there's constantly something to do, there's constantly something to revert. So you get this kind of addictive nature of going in and looking for these things and helping the project. So,
has anyone done a study to see how many of these people live in their parents' basement?
Yeah, Randall was making a snide comment. Okay, we'll go on here. So Wikipedia, one of the 10 most visited sites in the world, as we saw that the hands go up here. There was a research study in 2007 that said of all internet users, a third of them have visited Wikipedia. On any given day, 8% of the internet visits Wikipedia. It's just huge. What's market penetration, which is amazing for a site that doesn't provide ads. It's completely free. It's completely run by volunteers. There is the Wikimedia Foundation, which is a nonprofit that has about maybe 10 employees there. It's tiny. They run on a real shoestring budget. The English version is growing incredibly fast. They add about 2,000 new articles per day are coming into the project. So we're currently over 3 million and continuing to grow. And there's versions in multiple languages. Now, some people ask a question about this. When we say versions in multiple languages, it doesn't mean that, an article shows up in English, and then immediately people translate it into 250 different languages. The articles may be different in each language. So, say the Polish Wikipedia may focus on people in Polish history and things that are going on in Polish current events, Polish music, and there may not even be English Wikipedia articles about those. Or you could go to the Arabic Wikipedia and the Hebrew Wikipedia, and they may have articles about Jerusalem, and those articles may be saying entirely different things about the project. So they're about that particular subject. There's no guarantee that they're going to be saying the same thing. But if you take all the different Wikipedias, all the different languages, there's currently, and I'm constantly, every time I give this talk, I have to check like the night before I give the talk to find out what the total is. But currently there's over 13 million articles in all the different language Wikipedias combined. Now, how does this compare to like a library? And someone made and this slide is actually a couple months old, so maybe there's another shelf. But if you were going to, take Wikipedia and print it in a form like the Encyclopedia Britannica, those big, thick volumes, it would roughly be equivalent today today, or maybe last night when I was checking the slide, to 987 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica. So it sounds like a lot. Think about going into one of these big university research libraries. So you're probably thinking about like one aisle of these books. So some people think Wikipedia, it's huge, it's like the Library of Congress, and it's not that big. It's like one aisle of a particular library, but there is a lot of information there on a lot of different subjects. Question here.
To throw it in perspective for those of us who are addicted to using thumb drives, about how many gigs would that work out to?
How many gigabytes? I don't know. How volume of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Anyone have any data on that?
I think I can feel that one.
Sure.
I remember reading.
Wait. We have a microphone coming to you.
We're recording this, so
people
can hear your questions.
I remember reading an article about a year ago, because once a week or so they make a snapshot where you can actually download all of Wikipedia except for the images, and it was 500 and change gigabytes a year ago.
500 gig.
Yeah. So I mean, something you could easily put on your home hard drive.
Right. Right, and there are people who periodically download it and then run scans on all of it. So thank you. Yeah, that, I should probably add that as a factoid the next time I give the slide. Good question. Thank you. All right, so this is the growth curve. Again, as of last night, Wikipedia is still growing pretty fast. So each one of these vertical lines is per year from when it started in 2001. It's starting to slow down a little bit. So people are sort of wondering, and there's some very faint blue, light blue lines up at the top of the graph as people are trying to predict, does this mean that Wikipedia's kind of peaked? So many of the articles that go in are about pop culture subjects, though. There's a very good coverage in Wikipedia of modern music. Anytime somebody has a new favorite album or a new band and they want to create an article about the band and about everyone there, sports figures as well. A lot of the new articles coming in about sports teams, soccer teams, all the different members of the different football teams. So as long as that kind of fan culture exists, there's going to be a lot of articles being added in. It's one of the common criticisms of Wikipedia, that it's more likely to have articles about every single Pokemon character than it is about, you know, medieval Turkish monarchs, because the historical stuff just isn't as exciting for people to be writing about. But there are people who love writing about history. It's something about humans. We love gathering information. For myself, I love articles about medieval history, so I'm constantly going in and adding information about the Crusades and then the related things. You know, what was the Christian view of this? What was the Islamic view of this? It's just something that I enjoy doing. And there's millions of other people around the world as well who also enjoy kind of adding information about these esoteric subjects. For those who are interested in drilling into more data, this is an interesting website called grok.se, where you can type in any Wikipedia article and you can see the number of hits that it's getting each day. So this particular graph is for the Jerusalem article during the month of May of this year, and it's showing, I'm seeing about 40,000, I can't see the decimal point. So several thousand hits per day on the Jerusalem article, whereas something that's going to be getting less attention than Jerusalem might, you know, there might be 5 hits per day, there might be 500 hits per day. So this is a pretty heavily trafficked article. So this article, the Jerusalem article, is of all the 3 million articles on Wikipedia, this one is around 2,500 or so in terms of quantity of traffic. Right. So now what happens when there's a dispute? Well, the first thing that Wikipedia says, and you see these acronyms, WP bold, it means that there's a page where that's the shortcut, so you don't need to type out the full name of the page, but the page is called bold, be bold, and that's one of the core tenets of Wikipedia, which is if you see something you want to change, be bold, go in, make the change, don't worry that someone's going to jump on it. And maybe someone will jump on it, maybe they won't. But always take the chance of making the change, unless it's about a living person. If it's about a living person and it's negative, make sure that you have a good, solid source about it. So let's say you make a change, someone comes in and they revert the change. Boom, they say, no, I disagree. Well, the first thing to do is to go to the talk page and to say, well, I think the article should say this, and then see if someone engages in discussion about it. And if no one says anything, then you can probably just go back and make your change again. But let's say that they keep reverting you, then what Wikipedia says is there's no one that's going to come down from on high and make the decision of what's going to be in the article. Wikipedia does not run that way. It's not like a university or where there's an academic or senior senior university professors who are going to come in and say, well, I think the article should say this or say that. Wikipedia runs on what's called consensus. So any article, if there's a dispute, it has to be decided by the editors that are working on that article. And some of the editors that come in may have very strongly held opinions. And so it can be very difficult coming to consensus. But most of the time, people, it's sort of like ordering a pizza. And some people say, okay, I want pepperoni. And someone says, no, I want mushroom. And so you debate it and say, okay, let's get a pizza that's half pepperoni and half mushroom. Boom, there's consensus. And so often Wikipedia articles are written in that kind of a format where instead of trying to decide a dispute, a Wikipedia article will describe the dispute. And it'll say, okay, well, some people say red and some people say blue, instead of trying to say the article should say either red or blue. Most of the time this works. In some cases it doesn't, so we'll go into those. So requesting other viewpoints, going to what's called a wiki project. So there might be a wiki project Israel, or a wiki project comic books, or a wiki project Star Trek, that where you have a lot of editors who are particularly interested in a different in a particular topic area, and they'll come in and they'll offer opinions, and that's a way to try and find the consensus. If that doesn't work, there's some notice boards you can go to where someone, for example, a notice board is the COI notice board, which is the conflict of interest notice board. Say that there's some scientist who is researching, cold fusion is a big topic right now. So the cold fusion article went into a dispute, and the complaint there was that scientists who believed in cold fusion, who had written articles about cold fusion and said cold fusion was real, were going in and trying to change the Wikipedia article to say that cold fusion was real. And other people were saying, no, cold fusion is not real. And so their notice boards were, again, trying to get more editors into the mix. I'm filing a request for comment. If that doesn't work, then the next step is something called mediation. And there are some Wikipedia editors who volunteer as mediators. It doesn't mean that they have any experience as mediators, but they do volunteer as mediators. And again, there's no forced compliance here. The editors involved in the dispute can request mediation, and then a mediator will try and help them to resolve their differences, but it's still up to the editors who are working on that article to resolve the dispute. If they don't want to submit to mediation, if they don't want to agree to mediation, again, no one can force them. That's the community. The community is so anti-authority. So if that doesn't work, then the next step is arbitration. And the arbitration committee still will not decide the article content. And they'll repeat over and over and over again. Arbitration, the ARBCOM committee, will only decide user conduct, not article content. Conduct, not content. And by conduct, they mean if someone's coming in, getting involved in a dispute, and is not working with other editors, is not working to find a compromise, then the ARBCOM may tell that editor, okay, we don't want you editing here anymore. And that's the most that they'll do, is they'll ban someone from the community. But the content of the articles is still going to be up to the editors that are working on that article. So there's two different kinds of requests for comment. One is on article content, again, just requesting opinions, and the other is on user conduct, where they say, okay, this particular editor, we don't think that they're working towards compromise. We think they're here with an agenda. What do other members of the community think? Do other members of the community think maybe this editor is blocking consensus and needs to be banned from an article or from a topic area or from Wikipedia entirely? Question in the back. Let's get the microphone.
What was the guy that had like 800 accounts and he was screwing with Wikipedia?
Yeah, there are several cases like that. There's people, like Randall said, people who live in their basements and or their parents' basement, sorry, not even their own basement, right? And they want to go in and they mess with things. They mess with people, they mess with the internet, and some of them want to come in and they just want to mess with Wikipedia. That's how they get enjoyment, is just creating hundreds of accounts and going in and trying to change something. Yes.
Now, is this order of resolution the same for every article on Wikipedia, or do you happen to accelerate any of them based on, I'm thinking particularly of entire nations that might want a different viewpoint on such a public site?
Good question. And the answer is no, it doesn't have to be followed strictly. there are cases where something is going on and it will go to ARBCOM immediately because it's such an urgent case. Say if there's a major traumatic event that's going on in the war, say in the world, a war has just broken out somewhere. And when there's border skirmishes, usually editors from either side, either nation in that border skirmish will run to Wikipedia and they'll want to update something saying, well, this city belongs to this country, the city belongs to this country. Or they'll want to block out information. In Israel-Palestine, for example, there's in the West Bank, there's an area, the Israelis will call the area Samaria, and the Palestinians will not call it Samaria. They say Samaria is something that the Israelis are doing as part of propaganda. And so there'll be these huge debates. And this kind of thing did escalate up to ARBCOM. And ARBCOM basically looked at 15 editors that obviously had an agenda and decided, all of them were no longer allowed to edit anything to do with Israel or Palestine in Wikipedia. When there's a death of a major figure, for example, Michael Jackson, when Michael Jackson died, and the internet kind of slowed to a crawl, and Wikipedia slowed to a crawl as well, from everybody coming in and trying to edit it. September 11th as well. I mean, that was 2001 when Wikipedia was new, but there are still articles related to September 11th, where sometimes something will happen, there'll be some new article, something new comes in, and it'll become what's called an unstable article. And so ARBCOM may have to step in and authorize, say, discretionary sanctions, which means an administrator can go in and take a look at it and say, okay, we're going to stop all edits to this article for a day or a month. Or we're going to do what's called semi-protection, which means an article can only be edited by people who are registered Wikipedia editors. It cannot be edited by anonymous editors. So there's lots of different tools in the toolbox. Does that answer your question? Okay, in the back.
I'm an administrator at a university. We had a complaint from an editor who found that there was somebody from our university who was defacing a page. They weren't just dispute. They were actually going in and putting rather nasty stuff on the page about somebody. And so because of the talk I went to yours last year, I knew how the Wikipedia resolution process worked, and what that enabled us to do is we were able to discipline the student and telling him, yes, you can edit that, you can do those things, that's part of Wikipedia's resolution process, but you just can't do it from our systems, you have to use your own.
Yes, yep. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad that you were able to deal with things, and that is definitely something that can be enforced from a university side, and also when, as an administrator, we might look in at some anonymous accounts that are making edits to a school page, or if there's vandalism coming from certain IPs, we can identify those IPs and say, aha, this is a school. And then sometimes we will contact the school computer department, and we will say we're getting a certain amount of vandalism coming in from your school's computers. We can potentially ban any anonymous edits, or maybe you can do something on your side. So that, yeah, there's lots of different tools that can be done there. So.
What was funny is he actually read the vandalism page at Wikipedia about vandalism before he did the vandalism.
So he was trying to kind of find a way around it and try to do something that was skirting the edges.
Oh, yeah. And the reason we caught him is when the editor reported it to us, of course, information security manager. I immediately logged on his machine remotely, pulled all his logs. Mm-hmm. So I knew every page he'd been to, all the content he'd messed with, everything.
Yeah, you can get complete contribution histories. I can look at any editor and see everything that they've created and anything they've changed. And as an administrator, not only can I see everything they've changed, but say if they've created an article and that article was then deleted, I can look and see anything they've done that was on a deleted article as well. It's called deleted contributions. I mean, there's a complete history of everything. And of those 2,000 articles that I said were added to Wikipedia per day, that's the articles that stick. I would say that there's probably more like sometimes 5,000 or 10,000 articles that are created per day, most of which are deleted on site, because someone may create an article that says, I'm sitting next to Jenny and Jenny's cute. So the article might be Jenny is cute on Wikipedia. And these things are constantly popping up. And so administrators are just coming in and going delete, 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 delete. So that's why sometimes if someone here creates a bona fide article, but it's like a short stub saying, Edward Jones was the Minister of Finance Italy in 1980, and someone might come along and go, oh, delete, because they're in this kind of Charlie Chaplin assembly line, delete, 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 and they might accidentally delete something that's actually good. So if you ever see this happen, if you create an article and it gets deleted too quickly, don't worry about it. The best way to do it is to go to the administrator that deleted and leave them a note on what's called their talk page, their user talk page, and say, hey, I was working on that article, can you bring it back? And then, depending on what mode the administrator is in, I mean, they might be sleep deprived at the moment, usually they will recreate the article or they'll engage in a conversation with you. If they don't, then there are other processes. There's something called DRV, which is deletion review, where you can go and say, this article was deleted, I don't think it should have been deleted, can we bring it back? Another option is to create the article in a subpage of your user space and get it more fleshed out with sources and kind of nail it down with weights, you know, sources, and then copy it over into what's main space, the actual article space. I mean, I've created literally hundreds of articles on Wikipedia, and sometimes I'll be working on an article and I hit, you know, I create an article, I save it, and then I'm adding more information to it, and when I hit save again, it's already been deleted. I mean, it's that fast. You can create an article and it can be gone within seconds. So it is, even to experienced editors, it happens a lot. Was there a question here, or?
Back to school, and my teacher's going to give us extra credit if we can create a Wikipedia article that stays.
Awesome.
So, you know, I'm actually trying to find something that I can use. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure it stays, because 90% of the class who's done it so far, it's been deleted. So.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent question. And there actually are projects on Wikipedia to work with academics on this. Can we keep the microphone with her for a minute? Because I wanted to get some follow-ups. Do you know what it is that you want to create an article about?
Well, I talked to the teacher, and I was actually thinking about an article on the Georgia High School Fencing League. They have an article on high school fencing with a little information on Georgia, but there's not one under the Georgia High School Fencing League.
Okay. When the articles previously were deleted, did you see the reasons for why they were deleted?
It was, you know, I'm a little older than the average student, and it was, you know, 20-year-olds putting stuff about their favorite character in a book or a TV show, all to do with vampires, of course.
Right. So the best way to get the article about a Georgia Fencing League to stick is to get third-party sources to prove that the subject is notable. A lot of people will go in and they will create articles based on personal knowledge, and that's pretty much a guarantee that an article is going to be deleted. It's a misconception about Wikipedia that it's for printing information. Instead, Wikipedia is for publishing information that has already been written about in other sources. An example I use is that we're here at DragonCon. Say a UFO, honest to God UFO, landed on the street outside. We all saw it, we witnessed it, we took pictures of it, and then we ran to Wikipedia and tried to create an article, 2009 landing of UFO in Atlanta. It would, even though we had eyewitnesses and it was real, the article would still be deleted because it would say no published sources. It couldn't be on Wikipedia until, say, the Atlanta newspaper wrote about it, and then we could write in Wikipedia about it, but only include the information that had appeared in the Atlanta newspaper. So for the sports team that you're talking about, I would say go out and find, have other newspapers written about, newspapers, magazines, and not school newsletters, but Atlanta newspaper. Has this team been written about in a book at any place? So it's going to have to be some sort of a major source, and then only include in the article whatever information has already appeared in these sources. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, Randall.
And actually, right on that topic, on your Wikipedia article right now, it says she also gave lectures at DragonCon, citation needed. I'm thinking, wait a second, we're here witnessing this.
Right.
How would we make that go away?
There would have to be,
Can we reference this podcast?
If this podcast is published on the electronics track, then yes. And that citation needed tag was probably added by someone, if we go into the history and we look, was probably added by someone that I was dealing with as an administrator. And they were coming in and, they come in and challenge, they challenge the names of my parents. Everything, every little detail. I'm a cryptographer, and then they debated endlessly, was I professional cryptographer and amateur cryptographer? You know, and what did it mean to be professional? Because some of them wanted to say, they were trying to argue, well, she never actually got a degree in cryptography. That means that she's not a cryptographer. And it didn't matter that the New York Times said I was a cryptographer. they wanted to debate it. So for DragonCon to add a citation, actually there was an article that just appeared in the Daily Dragon yesterday. So yeah, that could probably be used as a source, though some might argue whether it's a reliable source.
Well, see, if the CIA says you're a cryptographer, I think that's,
well,
you know.
Well, the CIA does, and you can have, I mean, Shatner could be standing on top of a podium saying Ilanka's a cryptographer, and they would argue, well, he's not a reliable source. So what would be needed, the DragonCon website will normally work. However, to really make it stick, it would have to be something New York Times, USA Today, an actual academic article, but yeah, something with some meat to it. But people are still going to argue. I mean, like I said, you could have a New York Times source and they would say, oh, but you know, New York Times is not reliable on the subject of cryptography. And they'd come up with a way to argue it.
Could they use, in this case with the fencing club, could they use the organizations, the state organizations publication? A lot of times they have newsletters and publications they put out. They could use that as a reference?
They could use that as a reference, and it would depend at that point who was reviewing the article as to whether they would accept that as sufficient notability for the organization. With sports teams, there's many people that want to create about their sports teams, about everyone that's on the sports team. And so there's a debate, it's called the notability debate. Is this team notable enough to have an article on Wikipedia? To prove notability, you have to show that the team has been mentioned in third-party sources that are not directly associated with the team. So just something that's the sports association site, that's the school newsletter, might not be enough. Then again, many people create these articles and the reviewers just take a quick scan and then they let it go. So there's thousands of articles on Wikipedia which have very few sources or no sources at all. And it's like a river, rushing river, and of articles coming in, and you'll have some articles that just get caught in an eddy somewhere, and no one's looking at them, so no one really cares. So then again, you might have an administrator who's looking at it at the time you create the article, it goes not enough, and delete. So Wikipedia is not consistent. It's horribly, horribly inconsistent. Yes, you could use the state site, but some might say that's not enough. So I can't give a clear answer on it either way. There was the guy with the mic.
Hi, I'm a sixth grade language arts teacher, mm-hmm. and my science department and history department both refuse to let the students use Wikipedia for research. What would you say to them to do, or maybe you would tell them not to use Wikipedia, I don't know. What would you say to them about Wikipedia's validity?
Mm-hmm. And it's a valid concern, because Wikipedia can be horribly unreliable at times. And I tell people to never use Wikipedia as their only source. Anyone who uses Wikipedia as their only source is wrong. They should not be doing that. However, Wikipedia is a great jumping off place. And a good article will be written in such a way that it has its sources listed at the bottom of the article. And that's a good place for students to go to find out what other sources they should be reading to learn about a subject. But I would, as a teacher, I would say never let a student just reference Wikipedia. They would have to reference the things that Wikipedia references. And then if they wanted to say also that they got information from Wikipedia, they could do that. Wikipedia actually has a citation link. And if someone does cite Wikipedia, they should cite it not as the general article, but the article at that moment in time that they happen to read it, because the article is constantly in a state of changing. So you can get a link which will give you a number that will say, I read this article at 2:30 p.m. on August 27th. And then you can go in as a teacher and you can see what the article looked like at that moment in time. They're also working on something for Wikipedia. There's these flagged revisions is something that's hitting the news right now, and also possibly color coding revisions. So when you look at an article, you can see which information at that article has been there for a while and which was just changed within the last day, within the last week. And the things that are recent are probably less reliable, should be looked at with more suspicion than something that's been there for years, that many people have looked at it and vetted it, and you have a higher probability chance that that's actually accurate information. Yes. Answer your question?
Perfect.
Okay, right. Whoever has the microphone. Yes. And then there was a hand up over here. After. Okay.
Former coordinator of the Military History Working Project. If she just needs to write an article, I recommend checking the National Register articles for the various state she's in, because they're always automatically notable. They're not likely to be deleted. So if she just needs something published in Wikipedia, that'd be her easiest option.
I'm sorry, I'm having a lot of trouble understanding. Did anyone catch that?
He was saying there is state record for the fencing, that there might be articles published on the state record which would allow you to not be deleted.
No. I was saying, okay. If she just needs some kind of article published, it does not need to be fencing. Mm-hmm. Any National Register article that's not always been there, you just look at the article saying National Register Historic Places in, say, Georgia. Look at the list. Look at the red link. Write something on there, it automatically notable. It should be safe.
Right. Anything that's listed on the National Register should automatically be notable. Is that right?
Right.
I agree. Yeah.
And also look at requested articles, mm-hmm. especially in military history. I should know because I was coordinator there.
Okay.
That's easy because if people request an article, more than likely it's notable. Mm-hmm. A lot easier than trying to see if your choice of fencing would be considered notable or not.
Got it. Okay, so I'm going to paraphrase what he's saying. The choice of writing an article about the fencing club is an option. However, what might be better is to find something that is already guaranteed to be notable. So if you go to the National Register of Historic Places and you write about one of those, that no one's going to delete that article because you already have a source saying, boom, National Register of Historic Places. There's also a place on Wikipedia that has a list of requested articles. And going through most of those, there's probably subjects in there. There's thousands of subjects on Wikipedia where we need articles about something and there's just no article yet. Another option is scientific journals. We're trying to get an article about every scientific journal that could be used as a source to have articles about these journals. And there's thousands of journals that don't have articles yet. So that's just another option of something to create. Thank you.
So if I'm doing a research project and it's a topic that I know nothing about, so I go to the Wikipedia page, I read about it, then I go to the library or wherever the sources are from the Wikipedia page, take out those books, and then do a formal research project mm-hmm. based on the books I found listed on the Wikipedia page, would I have to cite the Wikipedia page in the in my bibliography?
It really depends on who you're writing for and what their feelings are about Wikipedia. In general, I would say no, you can just cite the books themselves. There's no need to cite the Wikipedia page. But it can't hurt to also cite the Wikipedia page. Some professors might like that, especially if you put the exact moment that you cited the Wikipedia page. Especially if you're writing about Wikipedia, then I would say it's good to cite the Wikipedia page. But in general, no, I would just go to the books themselves.
With the need for sources to be something, I guess, more popular like New York Times or whatever, how do you approach topics that are highly theoretical or highly bleeding edge? Your problems with cold fusion would be one of those as well, where because the research is still being done or the technology is still being worked on, mm-hmm. Actual articles from reliable sources aren't necessarily there, but the, you know, like the UFO, right. Those topics do still exist.
Right, and there's a huge debate on Wikipedia about these things, especially in areas of pseudoscience. So, you know, auditory hallucinations and different kinds of paranormal research, and people are saying Loch Ness Monster, I mean, all these topics where some people say, okay, this subject, it's notable, but there's nothing reliable about it. And so some editors feel that it shouldn't be written about at all. And other editors will say, no, but it's a notable topic. There's many articles about the public interest in this topic, so we could write the article based on the public interest. And sometimes the compromise that comes up, and again, Wikipedia is horribly inconsistent, so one article might go one way and one might go another way. So some articles will just have a banner at the top saying, this article may contain unverified research or speculative claims. Other places, there'll be a huge debate. There was one, it was the article about a nightshade, Atropa belladonna, and homeopathy is a really controversial topic right now. And some editors felt that since this Atropa belladonna had been used in homeopathy, it should be mentioned that it was a homeopathic ingredient on the article. And other people said, no, homeopathy is bunk. There's nothing true about it. We shouldn't mention it in the Wikipedia article at all, even though there are reliable sources that say this has been used in homeopathy. So it's one of the things that there's no set way of dealing with these articles. It really depends on the editors that are working on it at the time. A controversial page on Wikipedia is list of pseudoscientific topics. And the debate about what is or is not pseudoscientific. Another area that's constantly under debate is the article on chiropractic. Is chiropractic, is it real? Is it a science? Is it medicine? Is it bunk? And constant arguments, constant debates, constant revert wars going on, huge battles. Going on just a little bit more about the dispute resolution process, about what the arbitration committee is, and hopefully no one here will ever get involved in an ARBCOM case, or if you do, I hope you have a lot of free time because these things take months usually. But the arbitration committee is, again, a team of volunteers, 10 to 14 people. They're elected by the community on a once a year basis, and they serve 3-year terms. And people will submit cases for ARBCOM review, and then the arbitration committee will vote on whether or not they want to accept a case. It goes through an evidence phase, it goes through a workshop phase, and then it goes through a decision phase. And then what the arbitration committee comes up with is binding on the community. They can enforce things. They can say, this editor is not allowed to edit Wikipedia for a year or ever again. Or I was involved in an ARBCOM case where I was gotten this long, long, slow edit war that lasted for about a year about an obscure little thing about the Crusades and the Mongols. And the other editor involved in it that was revert warring, and in my opinion and in the arbitration committee's opinion was pushing an agenda, was then banned from editing anything to do with medieval history for a year. They couldn't touch any topic. And so they're a good editor when they're dealing with non-medieval history topics. If they're dealing with something in the 1800s, 1900s, perfectly good editor, churning out tons of good articles. Medieval history, they have this tunnel vision about they want to push this particular point of view about an alliance with the Mongols and Europe and a retaking of Jerusalem. And yeah, it's, anyway, it's an obscure topic. Okay, so this is arbitration cases. This was just a snapshot of one day and just showing that there were certain cases that were being proposed, and then there were vote, which phase they were in. Were they in a voting phase? Were they in an evidence phase? And another way that information is disseminated among the community is this thing called the Wikipedia Signpost, which is a newsletter that comes out more or less on a weekly basis. And if you want, if you have a presence on Wikipedia, a user page, if you want, you can put a link to the signpost on your user page, so each time you go to your page, it'll show you what the current headlines are, and then you can read about them or not, as you choose.
Wonka? Wonka. I just wanted to say I fixed your Wikipedia page, so it no longer says citation needed right from my iPhone here, because the citation was actually the next paragraph down, actually had your DragonCon bio linked already, so I just fixed it. So you know, you're correct now.
See? Thank you, Randall. There we go. So now we're going to, 10 minutes from now, we're going to check and see if the edit is still there, or if you got reverted by someone saying conflict of interest. Oh, you didn't edit as Merlin, real Merlin. Darn, that would have been so much fun. Then we could see dispute resolution in action, real time here. Okay. By the end of the session, real Merlin has been blocked from Wikipedia. Okay. All right. So going on a little bit more about administrators on Wikipedia. Currently, there's about 1,600 administrators. They go in through a community discussion at support, oppose, vote. If you ever want, is anyone here an admin? The Wikipedia admin? Has anyone ever tried to become a Wikipedia administrator? Okay. It's a long, involved process. It's extremely political. And if you ever want to become an admin, the recommendation is try not to get involved in any disputes with anyone, because anyone who has an axe to grind, any kind of a grudge, is going to show up at your RFA, your request for admin-ship, and they're just going to read the riot act about how unstable you are and how there's no way you should be an administrator. And it's a very frustrating process, and you need a very, very thick skin to become an administrator, because some of the editors on Wikipedia, they'll just make stuff up, and they will attack you personally. And if you respond, then that just proves their case that you should not be an administrator. So if you want to be an admin, think hard about it, because you're going to be you'll take a lot of abuse if you go in and go for it. The admin tools, that there is actually very few tools that administrators have. We can block and unblock users, protect pages to keep them from being edited, or semi-protect them to keep them from being edited by anonymous editors. We can delete pages or undelete them. We can see deleted histories. And that's pretty much it. Most administrators do not get involved with dispute resolution. They're just what's called the janitors, mop and bucket administrators. And the general perception of administrators by many people in the community is just like a janitor who has a bunch of keys, someone who's going in and taking care of the things that the community has requested, but not actually trying to wade into a dispute and deal with things. Very few administrators are doing that. In my opinion, more administrators should do that. Now, who are the administrators on Wikipedia? The perception is that they're senior academics, but no, most of them, they're kids. They're students with lots of free time, someone who's chosen to go through the process of becoming an administrator. Or they enjoy this fighting vandalism, people who are putting profanity into Wikipedia, and so someone wants to be an admin so they can go in and block these anonymous accounts. They're doing worthy work, but it doesn't mean that they've been trained to be leaders or mediators in any way. If the arbitration committee does come up with something, they sometimes will authorize what's called discretionary sanctions or restrictions, and administrators can try to enforce those. It's extremely controversial. Most admins have no training on it. So if you're ever in a situation where an administrator does come in, be aware that though they have authority, does not mean that they have been trained how to be an authority figure. And often an admin who goes in, they will become targets themselves. So it's a very, very messy disputes, personal attacks. People will threaten the administrator, saying they're going to have their admin access stripped from them. And sometimes it occurs. It really does occur. So extremely dirty tactics that are going on. So ARBCOM made this committee, the Working Group on Ethnic and Cultural Edit Wars, and it was it was a result of the case on Palestine-Israel articles. And in this group, we spent about 6 months kind of looking at these problems of disputes, especially ethnic and cultural edit wars. The scope was huge. There would often be a number of users. So if there was an article, say, about Jerusalem or some subsection of Jerusalem, often editors would come in, they'd make a change, they would get reverted, and then they would run back to their home Wikipedia. So like they might run back to the Hebrew Wikipedia and say, I'm having trouble with an article on the English Wikipedia, and they would bring over editors from the Hebrew Wikipedia to help support their cause, to try and make it look like more editors felt it this way. They weren't voting, but they were trying to build what's called a fake consensus or a false consensus. And this, it wasn't just Israel-Palestine. I dealt with these disputes in the Hungarian-Slovakian area, where in Eastern Europe, huge number of edit wars in any articles dealing with Eastern Europe. And because the borders have been shifting back and forth over hundreds of years, you go to a town, and it might be in Slovakia, but it has a primarily ethnic Hungarian population. The rivers in there, it might have Slovakian names, they might have old Hungarian names. And as part of nationalism, say, the river in the town is called by a Hungarian name, even though the town is in Slovakia. Well, you'll have Slovakian editors come in and try to change the name of the river on the English Wikipedia to the Slovakian name as their way of promoting their own nationality, their own causes. And it doesn't matter how many sources you come up with saying that the common name of the river is the Hungarian name, they'll keep wanting to change it. And if there's a revert war, they'll go back to the Slovakian Wikipedia and say, okay, we have to go in, we have to change the name of this river. And you'll get these huge edit wars over very small naming disputes. Naming disputes are one of the more common disputes in these ethnic wars. And as I was talking about earlier, if there's a border war, a border dispute, again, going into Hungarian, Slovakian, there was a case where a girl was murdered, and she was murdered in one of the border towns, and she was of one ethnicity, and she was murdered by people that were of a different ethnicity, and so it sparked all of these disputes, brought up all this stuff, riled people up again. And a lot of them want to come to the English Wikipedia. They don't want to just change this on the Hungarian Wikipedia or the Slovakian Wikipedia. They see the English Wikipedia as the central source of knowledge. And so because it's what they regard as the international Wikipedia, they come to the English Wikipedia to change it, to try and reflect their view of the world. These are just a list of some of the areas that are having frequent edit wars. Eastern Europe is huge, Greek and Turkish, Northern Ireland, a lot of the articles dealing with Northern Ireland have the troubles, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Sri Lanka. The Sri Lankan civil war has resulted in a lot of edit wars on Wikipedia as people are battling over these articles and what the articles should say. The tactics they'll use, very complex edit wars, and they'll do sweeps through multiple articles. So if they're changing the article about a river or a mountain or a town, they're changing the name of a town, and then they'll go through and they'll try and find every article that refers to that town so they can change the name of the town in all those other articles as well. And they'll sometimes even set up computer programs so they can rapidly go through multiple articles and change. And then other editors will come in and try and revert it back, and then someone will hit their macro and try and go through and then change all these articles again very rapidly. And it's very difficult to deal with these. Like the guy that, there was a question in the back about someone who created 800 accounts on Wikipedia. So if one person creates an account to do these things, we can block that account, and then they go and create another account. We block that one. Then they may we'll block the IP, so they can't create new accounts based on that IP. Then they'll start coming in through proxies. Then we'll start blocking proxies. And it just, if someone's really determined, they can cause a lot of damage on Wikipedia. Camera is something I wanted to mention. It was a group called the Committee for Accuracy in Middle East Reporting in America. And they actually announced, they were formed in 1982 because they felt that, this was way before Wikipedia, because they felt that some of the American publications, newspapers, had an anti-Israel bias. So they formed this group to try and counter this bias with some of their own bias. And allegedly, in 2008, they announced that they were going to target Wikipedia to make sure that Wikipedia said things that the way it should say, to be more pro-Israel. And they even said that they were going to try and get people in as administrators in order to help enforce some of the things that they wanted to say on Wikipedia, which of course caused, when this word got out, a firestorm went on Wikipedia, and people who were already anti-authority became even more paranoid about anyone who was an administrator and wondering, was this person working for camera? Do we need to block them because they might be trying to put in a bias? And it was a mess. Once ARBCOM has also made a decision, that decision is sometimes linked. So using the Israel-Palestine case, WPRPS, so ARBPIA, so anytime a dispute starts on a Palestine-Israel article, as an administrator, I or some other admin can go in and say, this article is within the umbrella, within the scope of the ARBPIA case. Therefore, be aware that admins can take extra actions here. Admins cannot take these extra actions on any article on Wikipedia. We can only do it in areas that have been authorized. I know this isn't for me, but can only do it in areas that have been authorized by ARBCOM. Check my article, see if it's still there.
some of our IP also ended your article saying you're currently giving a presentation.
Which is going to be removed as unsourced, yeah. Okay. All right. So I think I already covered this about how there were some of the debates on the Israeli settlement article, whether the word Samaria should be there, and ARBCOM finally just banned a bunch of people from editing anything to do with Israel-Palestine topic area. Another area that was a point of dispute, just as a case study, Muhammad al-Dura. Very sophisticated dispute. It was long running. It had many editors on both sides. They were experienced editors. Often when there's a dispute, we'll see editors that are coming in and they're focused on this one issue, because you look at their contribution history and all they're editing is this one article over and over and over and over again. They're obviously pushing an agenda. Where it gets more complicated is where you have an editor who's obviously a good editor, who is working on dozens of different articles, changing things, fixing vandalism, and putting in agenda edits on one article. That gets really difficult to sort out. And on this particular article, not only did we have what's called established editors who were engaged in the edit war, we had administrators who were engaged in the edit war, going in and changing things or making an edit and then protecting the article so that no one else could change the article after they'd made their change, which was completely against administrator rules, but it made things even more complex to sort out. And it was very emotionally intense subject matter. Next slide has an image that some people might find disturbing. It was a very iconic image at the time, so I'm just warning. This was the image of a little boy who was involved in a shootout, and then a few minutes after this image was taken, the boy was dead. And there were huge debates about which side shot him. Was he killed by Israeli bullets? Was he killed by Palestinian bullets? Was he killed at all? Was this a staged photo simply to cause a media uproar? And so this article about the little boy's name was Muhammad al-Dura. The debate on the article was, should there be a birth and death year? You know, was he really dead? What should the lead of the article say? Should the article say, here's the boy before he was killed? Or here is an image where the boy was allegedly killed? And all of the, each little word in this was being edit word over. So this was an article that I waded into as an administrator, and I did something that was considered very controversial at the time, which I put something called a zero RR revert restriction. And the general rule on Wikipedia is that if one person makes a change, say changes red to blue, and then someone else comes in and says, no, it's red, and then, no, it's blue, no, it's red. So each one is reverting the other. This is legal to do in Wikipedia up to 3 reverts in a 24-hour period. If you make more than 3 reverts, boom, you're going to be blocked. No question. It's called a bright line rule. And I did something called a zero revert, meaning no one was allowed to revert anyone at all for a period of time on the article. Extremely controversial in the community. What do you mean we're not allowed to revert? But what I was trying to do was trying to force the people to, instead of just reverting what someone else said, to try and change it, to try and find compromise wording between the two. And it eventually worked, but it was a long, complex process. I had to restrict a couple editors, including one who was an administrator, from even being allowed to edit the article. At one point, I banned someone saying, you're allowed to edit the article, but you're not allowed to change the image caption, just trying to get them away from their tunnel vision on it. There was huge political pressure, harassment, threats to my biography while I was in there as an administrator, messy stuff. So another case study, and I think this is the last one that I have, is about Islamic traditions. And you may have heard about some of this in the news about images of Muhammad. In Islamic tradition, you are not allowed to represent in an image the face of Muhammad, or sometimes Muhammad at all. And in one famous case in Washington, D.C., above the Supreme Court, there are these statues of different lawgivers over history. And when the Supreme Court was built, one of these statues was, along with other figures, was supposedly of Muhammad in a respectful form. But Muslims who visited Washington, D.C. complained about the fact that there was this image of Muhammad because it was against Islamic tradition. So if you go to the Supreme Court today and you get a pamphlet about the Supreme Court, which is talking about these statues that are above the door there, it'll say, and this one is Moses, and this one is this, and this one is an image meant to honor Muhammad. And so they make it clear that it isn't Muhammad, it's inspired by Muhammad. And it's still a little bit controversial. But on Wikipedia, we have many articles that are about Muhammad or about the artwork of Muhammad, about different sculptures, about different mosques and temples. And there was this huge debate about whether or not we should have any images of Muhammad. In medieval times, there were Mongols who were converting to Islam, and they created art about Muhammad. And some of it is very beautiful art, but other people say, no, this art should not be on Wikipedia at all. And the community debated this, and the decision, the community consensus, is that Wikipedia is not censored. It's like going into a library. If there's an art book, and we're not going to be tearing pages out of the book and saying, okay, someone might be offended by this art, we're like, no, we're going to keep it there. So I'm going to show some of these images in the next slide. So if anyone here is Muslim and you might be offended, I just wanted to alert you. But in Islamic art, one of the things that they'll even do is they will veil Muhammad's face. They won't even show his face. Let me see if that one is there. Or they'll just kind of put an outline. And that's what they'll do and even that much is considered controversial. This particular image was inspired by a story of Muhammad in the building of the Kaaba in Mecca, the stone building. And during Muhammad's lifetime, there was a story about how the Kaaba, the cubical building towards which all Muslims pray, had been damaged by a flood, and they were rebuilding it. And then they needed to place this holy object called the Black Stone. And all the different clan elders wanted to place the stone themselves, so there was a dispute. And Muhammad came in and decided, okay, What we'll do is we'll put down this tapestry and we'll put the stone there, and then everyone will lift the tapestry together. And then Muhammad took the stone and put it into the Kaaba. I think it's a wonderful story about Muhammad as someone who's resolving disputes and the peacemaker. But this image is constantly reverted off of Wikipedia. They constantly come in and say, no, no image of Muhammad can be allowed, which is very difficult for me to understand. But then again, I'm not a Muslim. So we try to be sensitive to it, but the images are going to stay. One more, this is kind of the one of the most commonly cited ways of resolving a dispute. There's a city in northern Poland called Gdansk or Danzig, and huge arguments about what it should be called. And this went on, huge edit wars for a long period of time, and they finally came up with a consensus, but it took 2 years to come up with this solution, which is that, and I don't know if you can see it here, but they said, for any place, if the article is about the time period from 1308 to 1945, then it's going to be referred to as Danzig. And if it's between, before 1308 or after 1945, it's going to be called Gdansk. And then if it's about a person who was born in the city during this year, use this name. And if this person was ethnically of this, and very specific rules, but it finally resolved the dispute. And there's a few other areas that have done this. And so any article that mentions the city, whether it doesn't have to be about the city, but even mentions the city, has this template on the talk page to try and head off any of the edit wars. So there are still problems. ARBCOM is overwhelmed. There's so many disputes. It's difficult scaling. There are also people that are banned from Wikipedia and they file an appeal. ARBCOM is also expected to do that. And sometimes if an administrator goes rogue, ARBCOM is supposed to deal with that. And people just file something saying, I want an article about my tennis club or something. And the article gets deleted, and then they want to go to ARBCOM and say, bring this article back. So it's just, there's a lot of work for this small group of people to do. Other problems are the dispute resolution process can take months, years with the Danzig situation. And there's no really centralized communication. There's the newsletter, but most of the time it's these millions of articles and people are just debating these different things in different areas. So you may have one solution here and one solution there. And then an editor from this section goes over to here and tries to use this solution and boom, causes a firestorm over in this area. And also just the idea that administrators' actions are very difficult to support sometimes because people will argue and say administrators are not authority figures, they are authority figures. So there's a lot of kind of schizophrenia there. All right. Consensus is difficult, especially when you have entrenched editors who are pushing an agenda. Also the fact that administrators are volunteers. They're not paid, they don't have any training. If they want to try and wade into dispute resolution, they might or might not have skills for it. And lots of personal attacks that are going on. Also, if an editor has created good articles and then they're causing problems elsewhere in Wikipedia, some people are more likely to give them leeway. So we have this double standard going on where rules are more likely to be enforced on new members of the community than on established members of the community. And it's not fair, but it is one of the recognized problems in Wikipedia. So anyone that wants to become an administrator, aside from just having a thick skin, we do have a new admin school to kind of train people on some of the best practices that have been working. And there's ways, if someone wants to wade into dispute resolution, we have ways of identifying where these disputes are occurring. For example, this website, and I'll get to the question set, is called WikiRage. And WikiRage keeps track of all the articles that are having edit wars at any particular moment in time. So you can go through and you can kind of see and say these articles are being changed back and forth, dozens of times over the last hour. And it's, you can see, edit wars over the last hour, over the last week, or the last month, and you can go in and as an administrator, you can kind of go in and say, okay, I think I can help here. Okay, question in the back. Okay, that works.
All right, try it now.
Okay, so what would happen if an administrator's account was hacked or an arbitrator's account was hacked? I mean, who would deal with it? And there have been situations like this, and basically it's the other arbitrators will come in and they will debate it. And if there's a really messy issue, the nonprofit organization, someone at the Wikimedia Foundation may have to step in, or occasionally the Wikipedia co-founder, Jimbo Wales, will occasionally stepped in. This is going to be a fun track for you guys to edit after. And sometimes he's just come in and he's just removed admin access from someone, which I don't believe he should do except in really extreme cases. I think he should let the community handle it, but it is an option. If every single ARB account was hacked, it would probably be chaotic for a while, but I think it would just be a short-term problem. And there are other ways that the arbitrators are communicating. They have email lists, and yeah, someone from the Wikimedia Foundation would probably go in and just remove access from everyone and sort things out and change passwords and come in. Yeah, the question, isn't there a site that is tracking the IPs and where the IPs are from on different articles? And actually, yes, there is, and it was written by Virgil Griffith, a friend of mine. He wrote Wikiscanner. I think he's been here at DragonCon. If not at DragonCon, he's definitely been at some of the local HackerCons. And yes, it caused quite a furor because it was found that people from Congress were coming in, from certain congressional offices were coming in and editing the articles, not of their Congress people, but of the opposing people that were running for office, and there was some ugly stuff going on. So my own advice to administrators who are getting involved in a dispute is to go through a triage process. If there's a dispute on an article, I tell people, first of all, look, are the people who are they reverting based on sources, or are they reverting based on their personal knowledge? Using this example of changing the name about a river, are they changing the name because they say, well, that's what people call it in the town, or do they have a source? Do they have a newspaper showing this is what the river is being called? If they don't have a source, then you tell them, get a source. If the editor doesn't get a source, then we just block them from Wikipedia, because if they're getting involved in a dispute, they'd better have sources to back up what they're saying. We also look, and this is high on the list, is the article about a living person? If it's a biography, we get extremely strict about not only that there are sources, but they are reliable sources, especially for negative information. Because it's very easy to go in and say, oh, well, Entertainment Tonight said that Joe is having an affair with Mary. And then it goes into the Wikipedia article. And this can really mess up people's lives to repeat this kind of rumor. So we say, no, it's got to be a very reliable source. It's a question here. Yeah. The question was about blocking an editor, and what happens if we block someone and they just immediately come in on another account, and are we trusting them to be honest enough to stay blocked as opposed to trying to get around the block? And good question, and there's definitely different kinds of blocks. We can block someone just by a name, or we can block someone and say we're blocking this IP and not allowing this IP to be creating other accounts. And there are people who will do exactly what you're saying, is they'll immediately try and come in, create a different account, create an account under a different IP, create an account under a proxy. And the general rule is that if they try to do that, we block that IP on site, and the block starts getting very long. Instead of maybe having only been blocked for 3 hours, suddenly someone, an entire IP is going to be blocked for a week or a month or permanently. And then we'll track the IP and see, is the IP coming from a school? Is it coming from a library? And if it's coming from one of these public terminals, we may block all edits from that terminal for a period of time if we're getting nothing but bad edits. We'll look and see what edits were coming in. And if an IP traces to an elementary school and every edit is to articles like Polar Bear and Sun and Tomato, and it's all vandalism articles, we'll just block all edits from that particular IP address. Okay. There was a hand up. Go ahead.
Can't you get IPs that make it seem like you're from a certain place?
Mm-hmm.
So that wouldn't really be that effective.
Yeah, do you block Tor at edits from Tor, yes?
We have people that specialize in tracking Tor nodes, yeah.
I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, like SecurityNow and stuff like that, and one criticism of Wikipedia that a lot of these authors seem to have is that they can find things wrong with their own articles, but that they're somehow not allowed to edit them.
Right. If an article is about a living person, the general rule on Wikipedia is if an article's about you and it's wrong, just go in and change it. And if someone wants to revert you, they'd better have some damn good sources to do it. Like if someone changed my birth year and I went in and said, no, that's wrong, and I'm changing it, and I say, I'm Ilanka, this is my article, I know my birth year, and even they say, but New York Times says you were born in this other year, and I'd say, no, it's wrong. I have the authority to say when my birth year was. Someone would have to have a whole lot of really good sources to argue with me. And especially if something is negative information, we encourage the subjects of articles to go in and just change it on the spot. Wikipedia is inconsistent. It's horribly inconsistent. So people may still argue with them, but there are recourses for people. The main thing to keep in mind is to take the long view. Someone may think an article is wrong and it has to be changed that minute. Oh my God. But if you look at this, some of these sites that track the number of hits to an article, and it's getting 10 hits a day, it's better to take the eventual view. It's called eventualism on Wikipedia. Articles are constantly changing. Don't worry about what it says this nanosecond, this minute, this day. Concentrate on getting it changed for the long term, because these articles, get the long term view and the article will probably sort itself out.
So you're saying I should also get the New York Times to put that you're developing Alzheimer's so I can win that?
It was something about getting New York Times to say bizarre things about me, and then people could source that. It could happen, but then I'd probably have a chat with the New York Times, and someone would probably get fired. But yeah, that there have been people, reporters, who have gone in and published things. Yeah, there's been a lot of weird stuff that's gone on Wikipedia. Okay, go ahead.
I'll try and make it quick. This is a very good workshop, and has a lot of good information.
Thank you.
My brother has a similar assignment right now that the young lady over here had, that he's got to write a Wikipedia article. Mm-hmm. He can't be here because he's working, so he told me, take good notes.
Okay.
I can't take notes on all this stuff, so I was wondering, is there any place that I can tell him where he can go, where he can get all the information I'm getting right now?
Sure. Send me an email afterwards, and I'll send you slides, or I'll send you information, or I'll point you or your brother at pages where they can get more information about all this. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Sure. Whoever has the mic. Randall.
She just asked what your email address was. But I just wanted to say that the edit that was made at the beginning of this session, where they said Ilanka is currently giving a talk about Wikipedia Dragon Con, has just been reverted for not being notable.
who reverted it? A different IP. Was it someone in this room?
I admit, Randall did it.
Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah. See, Wikipedia in action. Okay. I think she had her...
You had said to send you an email. What's your email address?
Oh, Ilanka, Elonka, @AOL.com. Okay.
Yeah, they're recording.
Yeah. Ilanka, I was just wondering if the community has ever given up on something about the river in Slovakia or somewhere. Has the community ever said, oh, this is just too hard, we're just not going to define this topic, and we're just going to give up on this?
Has the community ever just given up on a topic and said, we're not going to deal with the dispute here? Sometimes it really does come down to whoever's more persistent. And if someone says that they want to keep saying something bizarre and other people just get tired of arguing, then the article ends up saying something bizarre. And it will stay that way in a bizarre state until someone who cares will come along and try to argue it. So there is sometimes bad information that stays on Wikipedia for a while, especially about cults. There's articles about various religious cults, and the cult members will actually get together and say, we're going to have this long article about our cult, this is the leader of our cult, and these are the beliefs of our cult, and this is the way that reality is. And it just becomes exhausting to try and deal with this, because you have so many you've got 10, 15, 20 cult members coming in, making it look like there's an appearance of consensus, and you have one non-cult member who's saying, this isn't the way things are. And there are probably other people who could go in and argue with the cult, but they have better things to do than to spend every single day arguing every single edit. So yeah, they just give up.
Hi, you mentioned that it's important that you have a source because you take that more valuable than someone saying this is the way it is.
Absolutely. It's called original research.
But aren't a lot of things, in reality, there is no source, this is the person doing it, or mm-hmm. how do you balance that?
In reality, very few things are sourced. You are absolutely correct. Wikipedia, in the best possible case, every article on Wikipedia should only be based on sources, should only have the information that is from those sources. Wikipedia is horribly inconsistent. There are many places on Wikipedia that do have personal knowledge, do have original research, constantly, because I like wading into disputes. I'll see situations where someone will read a couple books and they'll say, well, this book says this, and this says this, and this says this, therefore, oh, I figured it out. And they'll go into the Wikipedia article and put this thing, this synthesis of information that they've come up with, which isn't sourced, but they say, but I have this source, therefore it proves that. And again, if people want to argue it, they can go in and say, no, you're doing what's called synthesis, you're doing what's called original research. But it really depends which editors are working on that particular article. Yes?
So what is the general rule of thumb when writing an article on which there are sources, but the sources are not internet sources? So you end up doing things such as mirroring court opinions because the court doesn't typically publish them on the internet, so you post on some domain that you control a copy mm-hmm. and reference other offline materials. How does that typically work?
And that's a good question about sources. First of all, a source does not have to be on the internet to be used on Wikipedia. It's perfectly acceptable and encouraged to use a source that's just in a hard copy book somewhere. However, if it's challenged, any source should be something that a reasonably diligent editor who has access to a reasonably large library can get their hands on. If someone has a source that was, they say, oh, this thing was written in the 1300s, there's one copy and it's in a safe and I have access to it. See, there it's a source. If it's challenged, it's going to be tossed out because they say, no, it's not a source that other editors can easily get access to. So I have a track run from my home to the interlibrary loan desk at my local library, and I'm constantly requesting books. I also use books.google.com is a wonderful resource that has, not only can you often get snippets of different books, but even if they don't have snippets of a book, you can click on find this book in a library, and it'll show, and you put in your zip code, and it'll list every library local to you that has that book, how many miles away the library are, and often it'll tell you if the book is checked out or not. It's a really good resource. Okay.
Does it say what page the person is currently reading?
Sometimes it'll say the book is due back in 2 days. Yeah, yeah.
So finding a document in a hollow column in a town in the south of France is not adequate as reference.
Correct. Unless that document has been printed in a book, and then if someone is challenging the book as to whether or not the book was created as part of a fraud, you're talking about Le Trésor Maudit de Rennes Le Château. Yeah, yeah. All right. That was another talk I gave. So, okay. Just a little bit more advice to administrators that are dealing with the dispute. What they'll do is they'll look at which editors are being involved in the dispute. Are these established editors who work on lots of stuff on Wikipedia, or are they just focused, or do they have tunnel vision on a particular topic? If they have tunnel vision, they're more likely to be scrutinized. We're going to look, are they using sources? Are they open to compromise, or are they obviously just pushing a single agenda? Are they just reverting, or are they actually involved in discussion? And are they discussing things calmly, or are they attacking other editors? We keep saying discuss the content and not the contributor. Don't say, I'm right and you're wrong and you're obviously an idiot. Say, I'm right because I have these three sources that say this. What are your sources? That's the better way to debate things. Okay.
Debate the facts, not the person.
Okay. 5 minutes. Okay. All right, so I think I've already kind of gone over that. If you want to edit Wikipedia extensively, and I encourage it because we need more sane editors in the mix.
But you're looking at this group.
someone who reverted you is in this room, and they're just not admitting it. But create a user page. And a user page is good not only because it gives a little bit of information about you. It doesn't have to have your home address, but just say, hi, I'm Jack. And you don't even have to use your real name, but say, I enjoy editing topics on medieval history or tennis or firearms or whatever your particular topic area is, and it helps to build trust within the community. If you don't have a user page, then when you make an edit and someone looks at the history to see who's been editing it and they see your name, it will be a red link because you don't have a user page. If you have a red link, it instantly mistrusts people because they're, this is a new account. This person hasn't even bothered creating a user page. Are they pushing an agenda? It's the first thought in the administrator's mind. So create a user page, build trust, participate in multiple topics, especially if you're in a dispute. It's very easy to get into this mode of, I have to fix this article, and that's the only article you're editing. And someone looks at your contribution history and it's all the same article, every line. Vary things. Work on other articles. It builds trust, and it's also very calming to work on things that are not in an area of dispute. Learn the wiki policies, but don't be afraid. If you have a doubt about whether or not to make an edit, make an edit. Always err on the side of being bold. Cite your sources. Don't worry about formatting them perfectly. Other people will take care of that for you. And talk to other Wikipedians. Make sure other people get to know your name, and it can help when you get in a dispute. If you see an error, fix it. If you see something you're not sure about, put a fact tag on it or citation needed. If it's about a living person, fix it on the spot. If it's about you, fix it on the spot. If it's about you and it's missing information, put it on the talk page and ask other people if they think it's worthy of adding to it. If a dispute comes up, stay calm, cite your sources, take the long view. More stay calm. So, summary. Oh, that's my thing about consensus, is that some people want pepperoni and some want mushroom. So you just get half and half. You don't have to argue and arm wrestle to the death about which flavor pizza you're going to get. So again, don't try to decide a dispute. Describe a dispute. So Wikipedia disputes are resolved by sources and consensus, not by an authoritative decision. Editing conflicts will often be enhanced because of things that are going on in the real world. There's a lot of politics behind the scenes. It's laws and sausages. Wikipedia articles may look calm on the surface, but there's often a lot of debate on the talk pages. The community is very anti-authority, but sometimes administrators are going to be there to help. Generally, disputes need to be resolved by the editors on that article. If you want to participate on Wikipedia, create an identity, edit in multiple topic areas. If you're challenged, stay calm. Cite your sources, be open to a compromise. The ultimate goal in Wikipedia, and this is one of the policies, one of the pillars, is neutrality, a neutral point of view. We don't want to decide the dispute, we want to describe the dispute so that the reader can have all the information available to them and the reader can make up their own mind about the topic. If anyone has a question, you can write to me, ilanka@gmail.com or aol.com, and my user page is userilanka. If anyone's on here, feel free to leave a note on my talk page. Thank you. Any other questions?